Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome again to church. I hope that you've found the past couple of weeks helpful. I hope you realise we've actually been going through a partnership series, that we've been doing that for the past 3 weeks. If you haven't been here before, then you're forgiven. But we've been looking at that question, who are we as a church? You know, what are we on about? And we've actually been trying to work out, not from our own ideas about this is what we want to be like, we've actually been trying to start off at least with the Bible. And work out from there. So we've looked at the nature of church in Ephesians, we've looked at the mission of church in 2 Corinthians, and today we're actually looking at another topic about the generous church. And so as we take a look at what's quite a hard-hitting passage, I hope you felt that as Claire was reading that out. Why don't we pray that God might help us to do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks that you are a God at work. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God at work in our church and also in us. And we pray, Lord, that you'll continue that good work right now. Help us as we wrestle with your word to be excited by these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Lord, help us to be challenged and to live for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bill and Warren. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. Two of the richest men in the world. I don't know if you realize how much Bill Gates is worth. He's worth $85 billion. Warren Buffett, he's less impressive. He's just a mere $77 billion. Now, if you want to know what that looks like, you've got the number at the bottom underneath their picture. That is an 85 with 9 zeros after it. Not bad in terms of a bank account. Number 1 and 2 in the world, according to Forbes magazine. Bill and Warren, they're two of the richest men in the world, two of the most powerful men in the world. They're also two of the most generous men in the world. Just a month ago, Bill Gates gave away the biggest donation this year, $4.6 billion. Actually, the two of them got together and they started a campaign back in 2010. It was a campaign called The Giving Pledge. It's a campaign which is focused on billionaires, because I guess they travel in those circles. Focused on billionaires that actually during their lifetime and by the time that they die, they pledge to give away at least half of their money. Actually, Bill and Warren, I think I was reading separately that one had promised to give 95% of it away. One had promised to give 99% of it away. Now I'm citing those examples, not because I actually want to tear them down. I think that is good, isn't it? And there is something good when you see that generosity at work, where they're actually believing in a cause which is bigger than themselves, bigger than their own children. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think when we think about generosity, I suspect we want to be generous ourselves. We know that it's good. We know that it's a good thing to be generous. The problem is, it's hard. We know that it's a good thing. Actually, we'd love it if people looked at us and said, oh, wow, what a generous person Albie is. You know, we know that's a good thing to have. But when it comes to giving up and letting go, that's when it gets hard. It was reminding me a bit from that scene from Ghost. Maybe it's the wrong example to give. Actually, I think it was in Friends. Maybe that's still the wrong example to give. Whoopi Goldberg. If you haven't watched the movie, it doesn't matter. Whoopi Goldberg, she's Oda Mae Brown, and she actually has to give this check to a charity, and she has to give that away. And she knows it's the right thing to do. And as she gives the check, the other person grabs hold of it, and she just can't let go of it. And I think that's a little bit like us. We know it's a good thing, but it's just hard to let go of that money to be generous. It was hard also for the Christians in Corinth as well, that Paul is writing to in our chapter that Clara read out. They had the same struggle. They wanted to give. Actually, a year earlier, they had promised to give. They were very generous in terms of the promises they were making. But now it was time to hand over the check. Now is the time to actually make the direct deposit. You know, now's the hard part. And so Paul writes to them, chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians. And he actually writes to us as well. He writes to help us to be what we know is good, to be generous. So as we finish up our partnership series, we're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians 8. Can I just say, before we actually go into 2 Corinthians 8, if you're new, if you're not a Christian here today, we don't make a regular habit of talking about money every single time. I'd like you, if you're new, if you're not a Christian, just to almost be looking on in terms of, for us as we think about church and money. I don't want you to be sitting there thinking, they're talking about money, they're just wanting my money. That's not what we're on about. So I just want you to have permission to sit at arm's length, okay? But for everyone else, you've got to listen up. Okay, so let me give you the background. Paul here in chapter 8, he's actually talking about a collection. He's collecting money for these Christians in Jerusalem. You can read about that in Acts chapter 11. There's a famine in Jerusalem, and so that's why there's a collection, to actually raise support for these guys here. The Christians in Corinth, they put their hands up. They made a pledge, we want to give. And so now Paul's writing to them, because now it's time to make good those promises, to actually hand over the check. And so Paul's writing to them so that they can get everything ready. He actually gives them a picture to encourage them. He gives them a picture of a generous church. He gives an example, a model. This is what it looks like to be generous. Hopefully you've got your Bibles open in front of you. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Paul says this, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." Paul's saying, let me tell you about these other churches, these churches in Macedonia, the church in Philippi, Thessalonica. Let me tell you about those churches. Verse 2, "Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability." I remember the good old days before I had a credit card. So all I had was the money in my wallet. You remember those days if you're old enough and used to go to church? It comes to offertory time. The plate goes around, the bag goes around. So what do? You take out your wallet, you work out how much cash you have, you set aside what you need for lunch, what you need to buy something, and then you might give some of that away. Now, that was kind of the old days about how you work out how much to give. Well, notice what these guys do in Macedonia. They're not like that at all. Actually, notice they're not rich. It's not that they're financially secure, and so now that they give, they haven't paid off the mortgage, they haven't paid off the house, they haven't saved up yet for the overseas holiday. Out of severe trial and extreme poverty. Did you see verse 3? He says, "Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints." They wanted to give. They wanted to give to these Christians they've never met before. Christians who are hundreds of miles away. It wasn't that Paul is begging for money. The Macedonian churches were begging to give. How often do you see that? And imagine seeing that. You see that and you ask, what is going on here? What has happened to these people? And the answer is, God has happened to these people. That's what's happened. In verse 5, Paul writes this, "They didn't do as we expected." And to some extent, they just sort of protect their own. Save up for themselves. They didn't do as they expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us, in keeping with God's will. You see, when God touches a life, he touches all of it, including the hip pocket. When I become a Christian, I find that it just makes sense to live for God. Jesus died for me. He loves me. And he's the Lord. He's the King of the universe. I owe him my life. And I find that being a Christian means that I want to give him my life. Because he gives me everything. Everything I have is because of him. My job, my money, my kids, my wife. Actually, he gives me heaven. He gives me eternal life. All that because of him. And so when I become a Christian, I wanted to give myself to Jesus. That's what being a Christian is, isn't it? Having Jesus as Lord. Understanding the fact that he saves us. And I find that being a Christian, it affects my wallet. It affects how I spend my money and my bank account. Or at least it should. Because life isn't about fine dining. It's not about the next overseas holiday or the big house or the nicest clothes for my kids. It's not about having savings in the bank either. Yeah, that's just another form of holding on to money. It's not about storing up, being safe, being secure. Life's not about that. Life's about Jesus. What are you living for? It's a hard question to ask ourselves, but maybe we need to this morning. What are you living for? Who are you living for? We get here a generous picture in the Macedonian church. Here is what generosity looks like. And if we see that picture, actually, it's a challenging picture. It's challenging for the church in Corinth, and it's challenging for us. You know, what kind of church do we want to be? Look in 2018. Verse 7. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. The Corinthians, they were good at excelling in a lot of areas. They were an excellent church in a lot of ways. They had all sorts of gifts, gifts that they were proud about. And you can read that if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians. You read what Paul writes here. It's almost like they're saying, you know, we're a church full of faith. We trust in the living God. We're a church where we've got the gift of prophecy. We speak of the living God. We've got knowledge. We know the living God. And Paul says, that's great. Make sure you give to the living God as well. What kind of church are we here at Grace? You know, you look around the room, group of people who are successful, people who are talented, people who are intelligent, people who've got all sorts of opportunities in front of us. And those things are great. They're great gifts that God gives us. But you see what God cares about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? God wants us to be a generous church. Excel in the grace of giving. And here's what it looks like. Just 2 points. Be a church that wants to give. You know, to some extent, that's a bit of a starting point. Jump down to verse 11. Paul says, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. If you've got the Bibles open in front of you, jump over to chapter 9, verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's not the size of the check, but the shape of the heart that God looks for. It's not the size of the check, it's the shape of the heart. God doesn't look at the number of zeros in terms of how much you give. He knows what's in your bank account. He knows how much you earn, and he knows what our heart looks like. Remember in the Gospels, that story about the widow, you know, that Jesus sees her putting in 2 copper coins into the temple offertory, worth hardly anything. Do you remember what Jesus says about that? She has given more than all those rich people giving from their wealth because she gave all that she had. God sees the heart. It's a little bit like kids' church over next door to us. You know, when you give the kids some money and they love giving. You know, you give them a couple of coins and they throw, you know, $2, $3 into the offertory and they're excited about it. They get to give to God. And Jesus says that is worth more than the billions that Bill or Warren give. Because they're giving to God, and God sees the heart. And so that means that there will be people here, people who, in terms of the amount that you give, maybe you feel it's quite small. Maybe it actually is quite small. You wish that you had more to give. But for you, that is being sacrificial. And God sees that, and he says, that is brilliant. That is exactly the right amount. Turn that around. It also means that there might be some people here who give what looks like a large amount. But for you, that amount is nothing. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost. It's comfortable. And God says, where is the heart? Where is the sacrifice? Be a church that wants to give. Be a church that copies Jesus. Take a look at verse 9. Actually, we need to understand verse 9. If you take verse 9 out of this section, we lose the whole meaning of it. Let me read verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Here is the engine room of generosity. This is the whole reason why we should be generous. We are generous because God is generous to us. Do you see the exchange that is going on here in verse 9? Jesus was rich. All the riches of heaven and being in God's presence, we were poor. We were bankrupt in front of God. We need to be rescued. But Jesus made himself poor. He became a servant. He died on a cross. He emptied himself to make us rich, to bring us into God's presence, to give us all the riches of heaven. This is the grace of God. We don't give because we have to. We don't give because we feel guilty if we don't. We give because of the grace of Jesus. So sometimes we say to ourselves, if I was richer, then I'd give. You know, if I was as rich as Warren or Bill, of course I'd give. Or you look at somebody else at church, you look at your uni friend, somebody who's gone on to bigger and better things, and you say, if I was rich, if I had what they had, then I'd give. Do you realize how rich you are? More than all those billionaires combined, it might not be in terms of money, but every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 1 verse 3. And the good thing about heaven, it lasts forever. Every spiritual blessing. Do you realize how incredibly rich you are? Because if you do, it frees you up to give. Just to finish up, let me sharpen this a little bit for us here at Roseville East. Again, if you're not a Christian, we love the fact that you're here. I was talking to somebody actually beforehand, and this is somebody who had visited our church before, and she was feeling that she had to give and she wanted to support the business that I was doing. No, we actually just love the fact that you come along. We want you to keep coming. We don't want your money. Okay? I hope you hear that. If you're a Christian, what is this going to look like for us? So for us who are regulars here, where this is our home church and we want to be part of what God is doing here, let me paint a picture of what this can look like for us here at Roseville East. Let me paint it first from the church end and then from our end. Okay? So let's go to the church end. This is what next year is going to look like. For some of you, you look at those numbers and you're allergic to it. You think, oh, can't understand it. Let me walk through it. For some of you, you go, oh, good numbers, now I understand what's going on. I just want to give you a snapshot of what our church looks like so that you're aware of who we are, because this is us as God's church. These numbers haven't been audited, but, between the spreadsheet that we have from Matt and from Ryan putting them together, this is kind of what it looks like. As a church, our combined income is around $320,000. Okay, in terms of all the giving that we give throughout the year, $320,000. There's a couple of big expenses. Staffing takes up the bulk of that, $266,000. We have other expenses, which is $57,000. That's things like whether it's insurance or photocopying or materials, building maintenance, repairs, $57,000. Then there's mission. We actually set aside 7.5% of our budget. For those of you who sort of heard stuff beforehand, 10% from Grace, 5% from Barney's, it turns out to be 7.5%. So we give a 7.5%, $23,000 for mission. You put all those numbers together, you crunch the numbers, it's a deficit of $28,000. So in terms of our budget, we're looking at the red for next year. Let me just say a couple of things about that first before you think. This is not meant to be alarmist. It's not supposed to be, oh, we're about to crash and die. That's not what this is about, right? Let me say a couple of things about it. On one hand, we haven't had a talk about money for 2 years. I took a look. When did we last? It was September 2015. This is not something that we drum home, you know, every month type thing. So to a certain extent, I'm not too surprised because we haven't talked about money, nor have we actually said, this is what we look like. And so there's an opportunity for us to respond to that deficit. Another thing to actually mention along the way is that a big part of the reason for the deficit to kick in is because our staffing hopefully will jump up. So from this year compared to next year, we're hoping to put on a part-time women and children's worker, another student minister, and also the assistant minister for 8:30. So there's a reason for doing that. And it's because we're not in the game of staying as we are. We're not on about maintenance mode. We want to grow the church. And so we want to see what resources God's given us to be able to do that. If we want to go in maintenance mode, we'd have a budget that was in the black. We're on about growing God's kingdom, which is why we're saying, okay, let's go in the red. Let me untranslate what that deficit looks like, what it translates into. If everyone increased their giving by 10%, that would cover the deficit. Now, I just want to make clear, some people are already giving what you can give, and don't feel guilty about that at all. You know, as I said beforehand, it's the shape of our heart that God looks at. But, you know, just in terms of a number, our combined income is $318,000. 10% of that is $30,000. That's our deficit. So if everyone gave 10%, some can't do that, some can do more than that. Let me break it up another way. If 10 people gave another $50 a week, that would also cover the deficit. And so for some people who aren't giving, that would mean start giving $50 a week or more than that, or giving on top of what you currently give. I don't know when's the last time we've thought through our giving. It would mean 20 people giving an extra $25. Can I just mention, and I suspect most of you know this already, but I just want to get it out there. Just to be really clear, my pay doesn't increase the more you give. You get that, right? My pay is set by the diocese. You can look it up online what I receive. In other churches, it doesn't work like that. It seems like the more you give, the more the guy at the front gets. It's not like that in our case. Okay, so just to be clear, those two things are separate. The more you give doesn't mean the more I get. The more you give means the more we can do at church. That's why I'd encourage us to be generous. Not because I want to line my pockets, because I want to see what God can do here. Okay, just to put that out there. So that's kind of from the church end. Just to give a picture of where we're at, because I think that sometimes that's helpful to be aware of the shape of church. The money for church comes from church, not from the diocese, not from outside, it's from us. That's the church end. Let me talk about our end for a little bit. What's the question whenever you hear about giving talks? How much? Now that seems to be often the question which bounces around. How much do I have to give? And I just want to say that for some people they feel uncomfortable when we talk about money. My background in a previous life was remuneration, where you actually talk about. So I'm comfortable with numbers, but I know that not everyone is. The reason why we're talking about this is not because we want to turn the screws or anything, but because giving is part of discipleship. Just like Bible reading, or evangelism. Now, that's what we saw in verse 5. It's just part of following Jesus. And so we want to encourage each other with that. So in terms of how much, again, if you're not a Christian, don't give. We just love the fact that you're here. If you are a Christian, the Bible doesn't exactly say how much. Yeah, it's a little bit disappointing. I wish it just gave me the exact number, bang, done. Actually, what the Bible does, it gives us a couple of principles. It gives us two markers, at least, which I think are helpful. The first mark is what I've called here the given. That's not my term. It's actually, I was listening to another minister who described it in that way, the given, the starting point. In the Old Testament, so we're Christians, so we understand the Old Testament through the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the Jews were commanded to give a tithe. It's to give 10% of everything that they had. That was, in terms of what their giving looked like, 10%. And so the first Christians, they were Jews. And so they would have had the picture that 10% would have been a given. That's just how much you give. I think for us, that's a helpful starting point, at least to kick things off. Now, some people can't give that much. That is fine. But I suspect a lot of us probably can. But again, the given is just the starting point. 2 Corinthians 8, when we read through that, did you pick up that word tithe? 10%? It's not there, is it? That's not the model that Paul gives us. 10% is the starting point. The example that Paul gives us in verse 9, here is the goal, is to be like Jesus. That's our model, to be like Jesus, who gives up everything. And so if everything belongs to God, and we want to see the gospel go out, and we want to be like Jesus, we want to be driven by grace, the question is, how much can we give? How much can we give to see God's church grow here? Because God cares about the shape of our hearts. Now, I think one of the dangers with this sort of talk is that we walk away. Now, I don't want you to feel guilty about giving. I actually want you to be excited about that idea. We want to grow in our discipleship. We want to be excited about reading the Bible. We want to be excited about giving. Do you see, Paul talks about this being a privilege, a grace. It's an exciting thing to be able to let go. The danger is, and that's, I think, what Paul's picking up on, is it becomes good intentions and just falls flat. What I'm going to get us to do, which is, again, something we don't usually do, but I do want this to be, as we talk about partnership, to be able to step back and to just think about the idea of giving and what that looks like for us. Now, to help with that, in just a moment, I'm going to get the ushers to pass around a sheet. A lot of sheets going around today. This is another one for you to take home. All I want you to do with this is to find a date. Okay, there's kind of a blurb at the top, and it's helpful to read through a couple of Bible passages. The first line is saying, I will prayerfully consider my giving with my spouse, if you have one, on blank. So actually set aside some time to sit down and go, okay, yes, I should think about my giving tonight. I'm going to write down tonight. Or maybe I know I've got something on tonight, so I'm going to put down Monday night or Tuesday night. Find a date to think this through. Yeah, this is not about, you know, forcing. I'm digressing a lot here. I was talking to somebody on Monday, and apparently he went to a church, and five times they passed around an FPOS machine. We don't do that. I want you to think through giving and to pray about that. But find a time so that you can do that. The rest of those things, actually, I'll get the ushers to pass it around now so that you can take a look at it. The rest of that is just a couple of things to help you think through, to actually write down, okay, what my income does look like. 10% of that is, and that's kind of what we talked about, that's the given. In being generous, I commit to give, and then that's the goal, how much you're able to give. For some, that will be less than 10%. For others, it'll actually be more. And then on there, I've said email the finance team to get the giving guide because that's got the bank details on there. We'll email that out via the e-group. But if you're not on that, yeah, email that that address so that you can actually send it to you. So, again, this doesn't just leave as a nice piece of paper, but there's an opportunity to take action and, again, to be freed up to give. So I just let that get passed around. And if you're sitting next to your spouse already, just lean over and say, yeah, when should we talk about it? Write a date down. Or if you're just sitting by yourself, you know, write down, okay, tonight, whatever it happens to be. Let me just give you a couple of seconds to do that. Incredibly generous, giving away billions. That's nothing compared to what God does for us. He gives us his son. And he makes us incredibly rich in Jesus. Excel in the grace of giving. Because you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the starting point for Jesus. That out of his grace, his love for us, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Lord, help us to immerse ourselves in the grace of Jesus, to see how incredibly generous you are to us. And Father, as you continue to change our hearts, as we see what you are doing here at our church, help us to respond by loving Jesus and to be generous to your kingdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.